I'm not seeing the body, no, your kingliness. Yet in the city the lions prance and dance. The red wedding, the small folk are calling it. Welcome to the White Oak Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Chimps and a Chump, we thought it best to rename and rebrand ourselves freshly just in time for the game to keep the same in second edition. Tune in each week for your dose of strategy, discussion, jokes, and good old geek culture. A huge thank you goes out to GRRM for his amazing novels, FFG for this fantastic game, Card Game DB for getting us a start, and you, our loyal listeners, for sticking through thick and thin. Check us out on our website, Facebook, or Twitter, or email us at contact@whiteoakpodcast.com and rate us on iTunes. This CC licensed music is Town Function by Spinoza. Tried to find a red wedding quote that wasn't a spoiler for the two people listening to the show that haven't read Storm of Swords yet.
Dude, bunch of people died, that's why it's red.
Or seen the TV show.
Yeah, that's
Well, when we read the plot, you'll figure out what it does.
Also, yeah. Like, and the TV show version is way grosser than the book version, so
that's true.
Only because your imagination sucks.
Well, and the book has amazing stuff like, spoiler alert, the Great John that flips the table and starts crushing people with his bare hands.
Yeah. Well, now we're really just sort of fucking
spoiled. Well, the Small John's
hey,
the
that's
one
why
that,
I said spoiler
the Small John's
alert.
The one that dies.
No, they keep
John
the Small John prisoner, I thought.
Yeah, the Small John stays prisoner.
That's right.
No,
yeah.
No.
I think the Great
it's
John's
the other way
prisoner.
Around. It's
yeah, the Great John's prisoner.
Small John's dead, Great John.
No, I was right.
Yeah, you're right.
And so, then Jingle Bell, man. Can't forget the Jingle Bell scene.
Jingle Bell, and then for those of you who just watched the show, Jingle Bell is Walder Frey's youngest, is Walder Frey's wife in the show. That's the same thing.
That's what Kat thinks of her as, right? That's not her actual name.
So, in the show, she slits the throat of Walder Frey's young, like, new wife. And then in the book, she slits the throat of the fool son, right?
Yeah, like the least important Frey.
Of any
So, as you can tell, our co-host Aaron is in a wonderful mood this evening. So this will be a great and very, very pithy review.
He's reliving the trauma of having to experience the Red Wedding for the first time.
Are you kidding? I was so happy. I was so happy. I hate one. No, no. That's not fair. I hate the Starks. I was not
Oh, ouch.
I
that hurts. The only one
every,
who's hating
every
is
single
Peyton.
One. And Ed and Rob and
Ed's
Sansa.
Great. Rob's great.
Yeah, so they can
Sansa's
all
great.
I was gonna say I'm definitely a Sansa fan.
Yeah, well, I understand you guys like bad cards, you like bad characters, so let's review some bad cards.
Whoa, all I'm right. Not defending Sansa. I hate Sansa. Okay, there we go. Let's you know what? That's as good a transition as we're getting. Let's just roll.
Arya's cool.
Hey guys, Will here throwing out a quick prop to the Massacre at Hardhome event in Cleveland, Ohio. That's going to be at the Cleveland Airport Marriott. You can find a link to the event in our events section on the website. It'll send you to the Facebook page with more info. There's a map. There's a bunch of really sweet prizes they've got going on for this joust event. They're going to be doing a top 8. They're going to be a Road to Stalic event, so the winner here gets a free entry into Stalic, first round bye, entry into Melee, gets a room at the castle. It doesn't get you airfare there, unfortunately, but they're going to have playmats, trophies, all sorts of different swag, beer mugs, free cards and things if they get enough bulk. So hit it up. Looks like it's going to be a really sweet event. I believe wasn't sent over to me with this batch of info, but I believe they're also doing some charity fundraising with this particular event. So check out the event, see what's going on, make it happen, and enjoy what I think is actually the first Road to Stalic event to happen in the United States. So with that, we'll carry on with the episode. So, this week, it's myself, Will, and I'm going to introduce my co-hosts, Aaron, Roy, and Luke, and we are tackling the chapter pack review for The Red Wedding. This chapter pack review is going to be the same way we've been doing it lately. We're going to group the cards together by house and give them alphabetical U.S. letter grades. So, there we go. We have A through F, now including letter E, for meta matchup kind of sideboard specific cards. So, shall we?
Sounds good.
I think we make Aaron read Stark, right?
I mean, they're my favorite house.
Yeah,
the Red Wedding is
the last review episode, right? Like, somebody other than Roy has to start us out, so we have like some serious disagreement.
Yeah, that's what I learned listening to the last episode, so.
All right, so why don't we all just do the houses we like thing again?
All right, Luke, okay. You should do Stark, because you've been playing a lot of Stark, and I know you were excited for this card.
I do like these cards, yeah. I'll do these cards. All right, man, this pack's going to have been out for like 2 weeks, but I mean, I guess we
should. You should try reading the card, Luke.
This is the routine, I guess. All right, Stacy. Daisy Mormont is a... loyal character, cost 4, strength X with a military and power icon, House Mormont and lady traits with renown. X is the number of Stark characters you control. Super solid. I'm a fan. And then the... Whoops, I accidentally clicked the wrong thing. There we go. Then the Winterfell Archery Range is a 2-cost non-loyal location. Winterfell trait, action during a military challenge, kneel Winterfell archery range to choose a participating character with strength 3 or lower and remove it from the challenge. Card design by 2015 Melee North American champion Brian Aurelio. I know that a lot of people are panning the archery range. I think it's a lot better than people think. Overall, I think Stark, even if you don't play the archery range and you don't like the design or whatever, and you're not interested in slotting it into a deck, Daisy Mormont is... definitely a consideration for almost every Stark deck. So, good pack overall. I'm down.
So
I disagree. Daisy is like an auto-include in any Stark.
That's I mean, I don't want to go that far, but I think that she is... I would put her in every Stark deck, so...
Yeah, I think she's worth 1x in virtually all.
I mean, she rewards you for doing everything you want to do as a Stark deck that isn't Stark Watch.
Mm-hmm.
You want to play Stark characters, you want renowned characters, you want characters that survive for snow. She does all of those things.
I mean,
and she's unique, so you can save her.
What do you think, what do we think her strength is in your average Stark deck? 3 most of the time?
She's 4, I'd say, because she counts herself, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
4 I think then? Aaron's
well,
got a point,
but she
though.
Only counts. Oh, no. She doesn't. She counts all Stars, not Loyals. For some reason, I thought Loyal at first.
Aaron's got a point,
four
though.
4 with renown and 2 icons in second ed, I think, is a really efficient spot to be in.
Yeah, you know what makes me really happy about Daisy? Man, does Martell love seeing her.
Venom's
blood. Yeah, because Venom's
blood. Yeah.
I play a lot of Martell, and it's just like, oh, cool. You're going to let me eat one of your people.
Blade has turned out to be a lot better than I expected at first.
It's a really good card. Very, very.
It's cool. A frustrating card to play against, indeed.
I think, I don't know, I mean, a 1x in every Stark deck, that's like the B+, A- range for her. And the controversial point is that I like the archery range. I think that, like, everybody's going to assume that the Stark is just going to win military challenges anyway. I think it creates a cool little bottleneck where it prevents, like, chump defenders or chump attackers. And it's another one of those, like, you don't get to just, like, try something cheeky on me anymore. I think it's really quite good, and it's well-costed. I'm going to try to play around with it, see what happens.
Yeah, I think repeatable control locations like this are always going to have some strong opportunities. And I love, by the way, got to throw the nod to Melee, you don't have to have anybody involved in that challenge. Mm-hmm. So that could be a lot of fun in Melee.
Yeah, you would never play this in Melee. But that's neither here nor there. This is also not especially a Stark card, right? Like, it's a really interesting card for, say, Night's Watch or Targaryen.
Lannister.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Lannister.
Tyrell's the remove dudes from challenges thing, right? With Highgarden. Highgarden would be hilarious.
I don't know if Tyrell especially cares about this, because, like, your military challenge, like, Targ is just going to make whoever is attacking you have three strength and shrug, right? And, like, Night's Watch is either going to take your guys, or they just don't want that extra little bit of strength on the military challenge that gives them that strength they need to win. Saying negative two or three to a military challenge against Night's Watch is really good, especially if they have the Shadow Tower out. Like, it's a good card. It's just, I don't think it really fits into, like, current Stark builds, which are trying to go faster than they are control.
I think that it fits in a specific Stark build that's more mini curve, that's, like, interested in leveraging, like a weenie dump and, like,
but does
your
that,
aggro.
But does that event currently exist?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen it anywhere, but I also have. I haven't really seen anybody try it either, so it might.
I think Stark's looking for some more tools. I mean, we'll be able to answer the question of, like, where Stark is once we see what their two cost economy location is. So, which I think the opens options for the archery range. I agree with Aaron, though. I think this is more of a Banner of the Wolf card than it is, like, a Stark fealty auto include, mm-hmm. like Dacy is. So I would rate Stark this pack a B minus.
Hmm. I think I would give them a B plus. I like both of these.
See, I'm in an A minus. I think both these cards are good, and I think having a character that's just like, yep, taking out that, putting that in every deck I build is super clutch.
I think Roy is ultimately right here. About a B minus is right. I think Archery Range is a C plus, and Dacy's about a B.
But I will say, I'm glad. It's nice to see Brian get his card. I was at the Gen Con, so was Aaron.
We watched the
game. And Will, you were there too. That Brian won this, so congratulations.
And just a reminder, Brian won because even DC couldn't stomach Simone winning.
That is true. That is true.
We were there. We watched it. It's not a joke. It's funny, but it's not a joke. All right.
Is this the first Melee Champ card that we've seen reprinted or printed in Second Ed?
In a while, at least. Didn't one of the other reprints win Melee?
That seems like a giant pain in the ass to look up.
Yeah. I don't feel like doing it.
Don't have to at all. Hey, it's just the first one I recall offhand.
John won Melee, but there was no card designed for Melee that year, so I'm pretty sure his is for overall, right?
Yeah, his is for overall.
Yeah.
The bad card. All right, Tyrell, what do you...
The trap card for two players.
Okay.
Oh, poor John.
Can I jump on Tyrell? I've been really digging them lately.
Oh, you get a cool card.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. We have the Old Town Informer. This is a loyal, two-cost, non-unique, with two strength and an intrigue icon, ally and spy traits. Then she has ambush two and bestow three, and then reaction after a card enters play during the challenges phase, draw X cards. Then discard X cards. X is the number of gold Old Town Informer has. And then Tyrell also gets the Arbor Vineyard, which is their two-cost, loyal, limited resource location. It has the House Redwin trait and marshalling action. Kneel Arbor Vineyard to gain one gold. Two gold instead if there are more summer plot cards than winter plot cards revealed. You know, tentatively, I like the Arbor, but don't have a lot of feedback on it. I like that it's one that can be active, kind of T1, unlike some of the others, like, say, the Greyjoy one.
lot of summer plots give a lot of gold, though, so it feels like maybe it's a little redundant. But man, I love the Old Town Informer. I mean, just a base 2-cost ambush card is super intriguing to me. But I think Tyrell has the resources available that it's pretty negligible for them to invest, say, 1 gold on the Informer, which is all I did over the weekend when I played with her. And I still felt that was very reasonable to then be triggering off of both her own ambush, other people's ambush, in my own deck, the opponent's stuff, Arion triggers, whatchamacallit, what's the Dothraki location, any of that. I mean, anything that puts a card into play during the challenges phase. I mean, this would trigger off of Risen from the Sea even, right?
It triggers off of a plot revealing from Wraiths.
Plots are considered in play?
Doesn't it? I thought that was like in the FAQ that like that Ooh. That they put on Thrones DB.
I may have missed that. I don't think I read this PAX FAQ this time. Normally I do.
So this seems important though, right? Like this card's gonna break.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Like that's
guys.
Yeah.
We weren't 100% clear here. I just want to make
Oh no, the so rain triggers doesn't work. The but event cards like Blood Magic Ritual and Risen do because they
And Risen.
Yeah. What are we not?
Sorry, right. I was just like recalling something I read in passing and then
And events are played but never enter play, correct?
Right, they don't enter play, correct.
Well, unless they become events. Attachments.
Yeah, if they become
unless they become attachments, so. Yes.
All right. So there are
Yeah, dude, this card's gonna be super busted one day.
Yeah, I mean the decks that want to almost deck themselves and then just Isle of Ravens, everything back in, right? Like that's okay. Like that's that Hyper Viper thing.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of card gives that some serious extra.
Good. Well, this won't they're go separate, in that deck separate. Because she's loyal, but there could be something.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I said. Like right. Like decks like that, decks that want to do things like that.
Yeah, Aaron's point isn't that it's just that it's draw; it's that it's filter, right? Like it's just exactly. It's just that you just go through your deck so quickly that
and it's worth noting you draw first, then choose what to discard, mm-hmm. which is much more powerful than the reverse.
She's also pretty good with the Tyrell agenda that lets you put a card on the top of your deck, and then you could draw it with this card. And filled your hand.
The what?
The Conclave, right? The new one.
It's the Maester agenda.
The Maester. Well, it's in the box. I'm sorry. In the Tyrell box. I apologize. That's coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So,
yeah.
Right? The ability to win a challenge with a Maester and then slide something into play, draw that card, chuck what you don't need, right? So I think it's, again, showing that there's just sort of options for Tyrell. I definitely agree. That this is a card that's going to be broken at some point. Again, it's non-unique, right? And there's no limit.
Yeah.
So if you can set these up, right, you can just...
Well, if you set them up, then you can't bestow.
Right. I meant set them up like you do a turn them up, right? Like you can just marshal this, and then that turn you might not be able to ambush anything, but if you next turn you can trigger the ambush, right?
Right.
And I think... Yeah,
Widow's Wail also.
You do like, well, then you can do like plots like Ghost of Harrenhal or reinforcements, just dumb little stupid things that may seem innocuous to your opponent.
That's plot phase.
Challenges phase.
Is it challenges phase?
Yeah.
Oh, during the challenges phase. Okay.
But that still covers a lot.
So
that's still a lot of stuff you can do.
Yeah. So this is terrible until it's broken.
It's not terrible.
Yeah, I think it's medium. It's medium.
It's unneeded.
Yeah, but you like shotgun shit. Right.
Without that, I mean, look at the Lanny, what's the Lanny Clansman that he ambushes for 2 that gets played? And he has no other ability.
Yeah. No, I get it. Power creep is real.
It's a surprise body, right? You can do it that way, right? And that is useful, in and of itself. Yeah.
Lanny is also the only house that still likes for snow at all, right?
Martell select.
I was going to say, I'm playing it in this Tyrell deck of mine at the moment, actually. But
so you can replay your Old Town Informers?
I mean, it's possible, but it's partly to punish that, partly to replay the what is
the
it?
The informant.
Elena's informant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, as a theme, I think ambush is a weird theme for Tyrell, but whatever.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the card that people are actually going to play.
So Arbor Vineyard. Yeah. So I'm bullish on this card. I think that like Tyrell Knights, like I think it's better than I think in because there's Tyrell has a, like a summer package, right? You can run, you know, Time of Plenty. You can run the newer Knight plot, the 5-gold Knight plot, and really be able to go wide and then go wide again. Things like Song of Summer can be good in those Knights decks. The Knight plot itself, the 3-gold, this becomes a 5-gold plot with this, right? Tourney of the King, right? It's I think there's really good summer plots that you want to run out of Tyrell that don't that further the game plan of what Tyrell already wants to do, which is like hyper rush. And it's non-unique. It's better on setup. It's better as a top deck than the Arbor. And the fact that the first turn you can play it, you get that. Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like you can slide. This gives rush more economic flexibility, and it gives mid-range Tyrell more flexibility. Like with the deck that Chris Schoenthal top. He did a top four out in California with, I can't remember
Tyrell Summer,
what he did, which is the Tyrell Summer, right?
Yeah, he went King of Swiss and lost top eight, I think.
Yeah, I don't think what that deck is missing is economy. Like, I don't think that deck wants for more economy. Like, I've played it, right? Like, I know how Tyrell's
I have too. Yeah.
Well, it's just, also, here's
how I got the Arbor.
Wait. The Arbor isn't in that kind of deck. And it's just, like, Tyrell Summer, they don't need more gold. That's not what they're trying to do, right? Like, it just doesn't fit with the theme of the deck. You might run, like, if you're, you would stick it in that deck anyway just because it's a good economy, but, like, I don't know how much better this makes that deck. It's just another card that goes in it.
And how long does it actually go in? As soon as the Tyrell box hits, isn't this just immediately replaced in any deck that was using it with, what is it, the Reach?
No, it's the Redwind Straits.
Redwind Straits, there we go.
Wait, is Redwind Straits unique or not unique?
It's unique.
It is unique. So the only one. But
so
it's
also guaranteed. You can run both.
Yeah, just
I mean, there's an upper limit to the income you can run.
No, I mean, sure. But, like, if you're running a summer deck, sure. But, like, I don't think Tyrell's best decks going forward are especially going to be summer decks.
Yeah.
So given that I don't think those will be summer decks, yeah, it gets replaced. It's a nice little tool for now, but I don't think it lasts. I think it's probably better than the Greyjoy economy, which turned out not to be very good. But, like, yeah. It's worse than Martell and Tarn, for sure. And, I don't know, do we have any others? What am I forgetting?
Targ, Martell...
Lannister got one of the stupid ones, right?
I think it's worse than the Night's Watch.
Watch.
Night's Watch just needs the economy so badly. See, because it makes a difference for them because they needed that extra economy.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's on curve rather than over curve, I guess is the way to say. Like Arbor Vineyard isn't like the Martell and the Targaryen ones are broken cards, right? They're significantly above curve as economy cards. And Arbor Vineyard is more sort of middle of the road.
The Targ one is way more busted than the Martell one.
Oh, the Martell one is also pretty busted. Like,
it dictates your plot deck. You literally have to just stick a Valor in a Targ deck, and then you turn it on.
Yeah, but the difference between the Targ and the Martell one is that mirror matches exist for Martell, and when you Martell mirror, only one person's ever going to get that advantage, so it makes the plot game extremely important. So the Martell one it forces not only plot deck decisions, but gameplay decisions, especially against other Martell. While this... None of this does, right? Like, this is... I don't know. This is just not interesting. I think this is a D, but the Old Town Informer is an E, so I'm going to go E for the house.
So the problem with... Just to say one quick thing about the Martell one. The Martell one is the only well-designed broken economy card because at least it creates interactivity, right?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of times the opponent will have a choice.
Or you'll have a choice.
Right.
Right? Because sometimes going first is a legitimate... thing that that decks want to do because they need to close.
I don't think I've ever played a game with the Martell deck that I was running at the last regional and in testing that I ever went first.
I've gone first once or twice.
I mean, I guess I've gone first if I have like if I can really put the clamps on board or hand,
or if you have close, like tight, if you have Tainan.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I'm saying. If you can put the clamps on the board, then yeah, sure.
Anyway, yeah, this is a C minus.
I think I gotta agree with
Aaron. C-minus for Tyrell?
I think it's an E, because I think that the combo potential of all the deck filtering from the ambush lady is hilarious.
Oh, I think she's good on her own. Good enough that, hear me out here, I'm going to give Tyrell a B total out of this pack between the two. Though I definitely kind of rank the Vineyard a little lower based on, I think, a redundancy that is going to see the Vineyard fall by the wayside.
All right.
Do you want me to do the Night's Watch?
You're the one who plays Night's Watch.
I am the only person who
I don't mind mini curve bullshit. I just don't like defense, and these are defense cards.
Yeah, I love the aggro discard stuff. That's fun.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I'm firmly in the camp of builders as a fun deck. But anyway, Orthol Yarwink. Speaking of a builder.
Thank you, Aaron.
6 gold, intrigue, power, unique character, 5 strength, loyal, Night's Watch. Action, kneel a Night's Watch location. Oh, builder traded, by the way. Action, kneel a Night's Watch location to choose a Night's Watch character. Until the end of the phase, that character gains a challenge icon of your choice. And then the second card, which is Improved Fortifications. It is a zero-cost fortification-traded attachment that says location only. It's non-loyal. Interrupt. When attached, location would leave play. Sacrifice Improved Fortifications to save it. Orthol is a really interesting card. I think he makes that you got to rebuild the Night's Watch Summer, the Builder's deck, from the ground up. And I'm really kind of interested to see how that gets resorted.
Yeah, just a 4-hit one turn? With all the Night's Watch economy? With all the Summer economy?
You would be surprised.
I was going to say, that deck has to go so wide.
Yeah, that deck, you can do it. Like, I just don't think you, because it's also, that deck is really tight. Like, this is, again, I don't want to rehash this argument literally every time I'm on the episode, but that deck is, like, really tightly designed and requires really tight play to play well. And you have to really understand it. And, like,
Didn't you win with it once, Roy?
I have not won with it, no. Wama won with it, though, but I top aided and top.
So, I mean, how tight could your play really have to be?
No, I think Roy does bring up.
You're a kind and generous person.
Roy does bring up a good point, though, that like a 6 drop is usually for a more forgiving play style, and that is really tough.
Well, it's not just the play style; it's just that look at the deck and like play a couple rounds of the deck, even if you hate it, and say, what cards do I cut to make room for Orthol?
So I feel like that deck's whole weakness is the intrigue challenge, right? And Orthol, whatever the fuck you pronounce his stupid name, alone says that's not a problem anymore.
Yes and no. Like, what if you don't see him? What if you don't have to... Anyway,
sees every card in its... That deck sees every card in this deck.
Yeah, if you run 2 or 3... Like, if you run 2 or 3 him, you're pretty likely to see him. And he's a builder, all the draw and other shit doesn't trigger off him, right?
My point of with this is not that you're not going to see Builders decks play this card, but that Builders decks need to rethink themselves to make him
work. So here's how you make him work. Ready? 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 So you cut John's champ card, stop playing it, and add a summer plot, because you're in a summer plot deck. And then you're going to get like 6
Yeah, you add a time of plenty. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what you add.
And then you're like, ooh, I have 7 gold. Okay, so I'm not going to play him turn 1. I'm going to let him sit in my hand and just kind of like try and go wide, and then I'm going to play him, and everyone's going to have every icon. I'm going to shrug.
Okay, so anyway, Improved Fortifications is bad card, I think, but yeah, I do like that it says when attached location leaves play, would leave play, so. You know, it's not just discard. It could be return to hand. It could be a variety of
put on the top of the deck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, put on the top of the deck.
That card beat me the other day.
Dude, Raiding the Bay of Ice is really good, man.
And someone played it when they had urine out, and I was like, oh, right, that's a thing you can do. And it was like, huh, yeah, there's my Harrenhal in your... Okay, I lost.
Yeah, just cycle your Stark Harrenhal. Fantastic.
Yeah. Oof, yeah.
I was like, huh, it's a good thing I don't run milk anymore. Yeah.
Does that put you on attachments to the top of your deck, too? Or that was just locations?
No, just locations. No, I wish I was running milk so I can make Euron stop taking my shit.
Yeah, that's why milk's a good card.
That's why?
Yeah, so... there's a lot of reasons why, but that is one particular reason. Turning Euron off is very helpful.
I hear Greyjoy is doing good right now.
Hey, yeah, I hear in a location-heavy meta, the faction with the most location control and location hate could do well.
Yeah, but Greyjoy is still the worst house because they're the worst in the book. They're the only house that are worse than the Starks.
I do hate the Greyjoys in the books, man. I really hate them.
Like, I just hate, like, not only do
I mean, except for Asha.
Wait, no, their chapters are actively boring, which is, like, unforgivable, right?
They have about
two. Yeah, in
the Kingsmoot
three.
The Kingsmoot chapter is literally I can't think of any other good chapters besides the Kingsmoot chapter.
Well, so Theon's return chapter. Where you meet Asha because he
spends,
knowing
no, because he spends the entire time feeling up his sister, and then voyage was literally sexually assaulting the captain's daughter. Like, no.
Luke, I'm just going to refer listeners to the prior episode where we discussed
assault. That's true, we do discuss the captain's daughter.
Moving on. I'm just going to... Go ahead.
You're going to rate this? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm just going to throw in, I think Yarwick is very intriguing and interesting, and improved fortification is like the effest of e-cards I've ever seen. So I actually don't think I give Night's Watch a real high rating out of this pack. I think maybe like a C-.
So I think that improved fortification just goes in the bind. You never think of it again. So I don't really care to rate them down that much for it. I think Offal has the potential to take that builder's deck to another level. So I think that might make it, like, I think that's probably a B-ish card. So I'm going to give it a B-.
Okay, that's fair. That's what I get for dinging them for improved fortifications existing.
Yeah, it's a terrible card. But, like, does it really exist if you never look at it again? It'll be a back for a proxy. You'll never see the front of that card.
You can use it to balance out a table that, like, you can use all three of them and balance out a table that's like a little.
That is one light.
And then when attached table with leaf play.
So I was going to give it a B-, but instead I'm going to give it an A-, just to disagree with Aaron because I'm super annoyed with him right now. So.
Good man.
Are you ever not super annoyed with me?
When I'm not talking to you, I'm always feeling very affectionate towards you, Aaron. And then I get talking to you, and I'm like, oh wait.
You know you get to
said Aaron. every friend of Aaron ever.
A, 100% true. But B, Roy gets to drive to Canada with me.
Well, actually, in the car, you are actually a great companion. We've had some great conversations.
Yeah,
I try and
make time pass. I think I have to read fucking Baratheon.
I'm gonna give.
You should do Night's Watch.
I'm gonna give Night's Watch a C+ because I think Yarwick is good, but he has to be like considered very finely when it comes to deck building, and I'm not gonna do all of that testing and stuff. So, yeah.
I mean, you might see some of the greedier big guy, like Tyrell Reigns or not Tyrell, excuse me, Night's Watch Reigns decks slotting him in at one. One of, because there are plenty of Night's Watch locations that you can kneel for him, and you can give any Night's Watch character the icon.
Or,
So, it's, you know, you may just also see him in good stuff Night's Watch. Like, he's a good card.
So, yeah, he has to go in Night's Watch range.
Yeah, absolutely has to.
Like, just like, hey, my big guy now has an entry icon.
Yeah, and 5 strength! Like, it's not like a 6-4 or something. 5 strength.
Alright, I'll come up to a B-. I'm with you. Wait, what's next?
Barrow.
Oh.
Aaron, do you just not want to do Barrow and someone else can take it?
I'll do it.
Yay, I'll do Lannister.
Okay. You get, dude, Lannister cards are cool, man.
I think they're terrible.
He's going to do Lanny and Martell.
No, they're not back-to-back. There's like four houses in between them. You know,
okay, so Sir Axel Florent is a non-loyal character, four cost, four strength, military power, with the House Florent and Knight traits, bestow three. Reaction, after you win a challenge in which Sir Axel Florent is participating, discard one gold from him to choose a Neil character without attachments.
Wait, is that a Neil card that's not a Shy?
Yes.
Indeed. Wow.
100% true.
Wait until I tell you the next one.
It's kind of
Saving the Kingdom, which is a two-cost loyal event. Challenges action. Choose a Neil character with strength three or lower. That character cannot stand during the standing phase this round. Reaction, after you win dominance, pay one gold to return Saving the Kingdom from your discard pile to your hand.
So, can I ask, wait, before we do anything real with these cards, what the fuck from the book is Saving the Kingdom referencing? When does someone that's cost three or lower kneel to save the kingdom?
Strength.
I think it means that Stannis is intimidating low-strength wildlings? Maybe?
I think that's what the theme is going for there, yeah. And then he wins dominance because he dominates the north, and he gets the ability to keep doing it.
There you go.
So,
okay, that works.
It's actually relatively
murdered.
Ooh.
So, is Axel good?
I think Axel.
I think he's one of
solid.
The better bestow uniques we've seen.
Well, I think Axel and Ilaria kind of are similar in this way that they are like ultra efficient, like bicons, for their cost to strength ratio, with like decent traits. Well, at least Axel has a decent trait with Knight, and House Florent, because that's the best trait in the game. but, you know, if you have the extra money, I mean, Axel Florent is just like another way to like, kind of muck with an opponent's tempo. He's pretty good in that way. And even if you don't, it's like a way to just stabilize board for a turn. I think he's pretty dope, but the event is awesome. Like that event is gas.
That event was really not something I expected to see for Baratheon. When you look at how neutered the Martell event was, and then gets a good one.
Time out. The Martell event is really good.
It's not bad.
No,
gain an icon, like, get strength boost. Like,
yeah, no, it's actively good.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Like, I mean, I think all the recurring events have been pretty awesome lately.
I don't remember.
I think I would spend those slots on other stuff a lot.
This
of times.
One,
but we're not reviewing the Martell event.
I thought so too. Yes, we are. I thought so too because I thought it was going to be really bad, and then I tried it. Like, even if you just stick one or two in a deck, like, you're gonna recur it. You're gonna lose a challenge.
Yep, and it doesn't have to be a Martell character, but I still think that Saving the Kingdom is, like, significantly above curve.
I agree.
It's, like, it just, it fits so well into what, like, Barra's already trying to do, and then, like, to just lock out a Strength 3 character for two rounds, unless they have stand tech that they're going to try to spend that tempo on to stand a Strength 3 character, I mean... Like, wow, that's incredible. There's a lot of really good strength three characters or lower in the game that you can just, like, not have to worry about for paying $2. Both these cards are awesome.
If you've got the econ to keep looping it, you know, after that first trigger, then you can start locking out two characters since they don't stand during that next standing phase. So
yeah, in my experience, if you get the dominance deck up and running, you don't really, like... Like, all you're caring about is, like, making your opponent's tempo worse rather than sort of, like, actively building your board. So, that's totally a viable strategy.
Yeah, I feel it works even in that Mel, the big bad Mel version of that Dom deck, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think both these cards are awesome. Saving the Kingdom is really, really good. I think Axel is fine.
I think Axel just exists.
I think Axel's fine. I think that he's going to make his way into decks because Barra is so desperate for, like, 4 and 5 cost characters.
Yeah, I just feel like he's the wrong kind of 4 cost character. No attachment. You know what I mean? Like, that's the spot you really want. No attachments. Or something.
Or renown. Like Daisy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's respectable. You know, I'd probably, if I was rating individually, look at him at like a B-, but the Saving the Kingdom as an A. So, I mean, I feel pretty good about Bera out of this pack. I feel pretty confident in giving them an A overall.
Roy, you've been quiet.
I think Axel is a bestow card that screams play me. Like I think it was like over designed, I guess, in that sense. It's like the raw efficiency that everyone noted is just like play this card. And I think it's mostly successful. I think you'll see him at least 1x in most Bera
deal decks. 1x is no chance he's a 2 of.
I wouldn't play him any more than 1.
Yeah, I'm just...
The okay, words at least fine. Mean something.
I'll be more precise. 1x in every Bera deck. But he's going to be in every Bera deck, I think. Because at the very least, he's a 5 for 4 Neil 1 opponent's character.
Non-banner, right? Certainly.
Yeah, non-banner. And then Saving the Kingdom, everyone's right. It's probably the second strongest of the two cost events that we've seen so far, just below the Tar.
Yeah. I think it's better than the Tar because you can straight up just kneel that dragon, like,
yeah, no,
for two turns.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's better against the Tar.
Yeah, but I also think that like you can just pick any strength two character and like. Winning a challenge with a dragon isn't like that you're assuming that you're going to have to save the dragon to not drag somebody to get the thing back. And then this one, literally all you got to do is just put a chair and table down and like profit.
Yes. I think Luke has a fair point that the Targ one has a much more specific recursion condition, but I think that effect does more for Targ. I mean, this is a great effect for Bera. But I think Targ needed that effect more than Bera needed this effect.
Hot take land. I think this is the best two-cost recurring event we've seen.
Disagree. And I'm not totally sure it ends up better than the than either the Night's Watch or the Stark.
Oh, God, that Night's Watch one is really good. Damn.
It's going to be better.
I don't know. I think it's really good. I don't know. I think it's worse than the Targ, but better than the other two, but not like significant. I don't know.
Does Greyjoy have one of these?
We need more.
I don't think. We're about to get to Lannisters.
Wasn't the Greyjoy one spoiled?
I'm interested to see our discussion on Lannister. But I think
there was something out there for Greyjoy. It may not have been the recursion one that where they got to like steal an attachment.
I have no idea.
It was on the Facebook group.
I have no idea.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
I give Bera A.
I think the number of I think Bera's probably A minus.
Yeah, I was gonna go B plus.
All right. Talk about the two funnest cards in the pack.
Oh wow! Yeah. Okay, Sir Osmond Kettlebeck, House Lannister, non-loyal, cost 4, strength 3, military power. Kingsguard and Knight, bestow 3. Discard 1 gold from Sir Osmond Kettlebeck to put a Knight character into play from your hand. At the end of the phase, if that card is still in play, discard it from play. Cannot be saved. Limit once per phase. Tywin Stratagem. House Lannister, loyal event, cost 2. Channel Jackson. Choose a character with printed cost 2 or lower controlled by each player. Return each of those characters to its owner's hand. That's interesting phrasing. Reaction. After a character is discarded from an opponent's hand or deck, pay 1 gold to return Tyrant Stratagem from your discard pile to your hand. That's got to be the easiest. I mean, that or Martell are the easiest recursion. I don't think Tyrant Stratagem is actually that good. I think it's okay. But, like, Lannister sort of needs its low-cost guys to soak claim. They don't really have a 3-cost slot besides Hound. So once you're going, I feel like this card is good. But early game, like, this is going to be a dead card in your hand. Although, I mean, I think its real strength is that you could just play one of it and shrug.
Yeah.
I think you can also chuck it to reserve early and then recur it later. Like, yeah, I think that's the strength of the two-cost events, right?
Yeah, but, like, I mean, yeah, and you could also just, like, bounce a Burnman that you've used to put him back into play to defend something as needed. Like, there's all sorts of little cute things.
I think people are going to remember the times that they just straight up loaded this card.
The best use of this is Miri, right? Like, Lanny Dragon, Miri, and just like Miri and someone else, you pull that out, pull one of the defenders out, Miri wins, kill something big. Like, there's
It'll help you get win by five or more if anyone's still running any of those. It's a good card. It's just not a great card. Like, it's, I don't see this ever being more than one of. And Sir Osmond Kettleback, I don't know why you think that's so fun, because that shouldn't see play.
Yeah, I was much more excited about him at first.
Because it's House Florida. Okay. You have fun with that, but no.
It's fun. That's what I said. It's fun.
Yeah, it's just not good.
One cost mountains, man. One cost mountains.
For a turn.
Fine.
And sometimes all you need with the mountain. All you need to do is hit their
six. There's plenty of ways to return stuff to hand before like things die or get discarded. And Lanny Jumper now, he's a hilarious card. I just can't wait to see some of the funny plays that happen. I don't know if he'll be competitive. I don't really care. He's just a fun card.
I mean, I guess Kettleblack could get.
He could end up being a rescue.
Yeah, man.
I think Banner of the Lion Knights decks could eventually become a thing, right? Because there's a really strong Knights package. Yeah. And I think, yeah. So, you know, like a Tyrell Lion or something that's running all of the Knights that you could possibly run or something would be an interesting deck that may see some play and may end up being competitive. We're getting a Tyrell box that could dump a bunch of Knights on us, right? I think he's an E card. Like, and then Town Stratagem, I think, is going to fall into the Queen's Assassin role, which is it's a win more Lanny card that we'll see some play depending on the meta, but you'll always be frustrated when you lose to it because it's often just a win.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. I think that like people are going to remember the times that like this thing just like blew the doors off of the game because you like were misfortunate enough to not have any saves or like you only had big guys and and managed to top deck that one claim soak. And then like you couldn't cancel this thing. And then it just,
or when you
out of control from there.
Managed to play a Queen's Assassin, use this to bounce it back to hand and bounce their chud, then
yep.
Redo the Assassin. I might've done that this past
week. Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Sounds horrible.
It was
whatever. That's
my
way,
opponent looked at me very
cooler.
Funny. When I passed on was 10 gold or whatever and didn't marshal anything.
That's way cooler than like other Lanny bullshit where you just like marshal 4/7 cost characters and then just turn them sideways and play events that kill stuff.
I mean, I think that this is just going to, like, at the end of the day, this is going to be, I think, Aaron hit. If it's going to see a tier one competitive play, it's going to be a Lanny Reigns deck that does what Lanny Reigns does, which is get 2 to 3, 6 to 7 cost characters set up, and then uses this to get rid of people's claim soak, and then to push through their kill events, and it's just going to be another Lanny bullshit card. And you can add some spice to that bullshit to make it taste a little bit better of recycling Queen's Assassins or whatever, but it's still going to be the same. Lanny gets ahead of you and then just uses its overcurve cards and some of its Winmore cards. It's like Lannister's literally the faction where Winmore cards make sense.
Doesn't that feel thematic for Lannister, though?
Sure, but it doesn't feel fun for gameplay, which is kind of a problem in a game.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Can I throw out another melee nod here? I think it's interesting that Lanny is getting some cards that are intriguing in melee. Of course, Cersei is triggering off of, you know, discards all around the table. Tywin Stratagem not only triggers off of discards from all around the table, but also bounces something controlled by every character. I'm not necessarily saying it's going to be good, but if I want to consider a deck that just really mucks with everyone else in melee, this is a thought.
Melee deck with four Cersei and Trial by Combat when you get Master of Whispers. So you bounce all their claim soak and then you like hit them with a 3 claim intrigue challenge.
Combo-rific. I love it.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to give Lannister an E because this is ultimately combo shit.
I think I give him probably a C. I guess Kettleblack might have something eventually, but I'm not super enthused about him. And Stratagem could be fun, but I admit it is. It's more niche than I wish it was.
Sounds like E to me, but okay.
I think Lannister gets a C grade. I think that like both of these cards are like completely playable, and like I recognize all the points that everybody's made, but I think that for now it's a C. I'm a little bit higher on this pack in general, I think, than everybody else is. It seems that way at least.
He isn't a bad grade, it's just it means it's a combo.
I think that Osmond Kettleblack isn't that far away from being just a like an engine for a good deck.
How is he getting all that gold on him?
Have you played Lannister or Tyrell lately?
Yeah, but it's bestow three. Like, there's no. How do you get going back on him?
I don't know.
You, Daring Rescue, him back to your hand, of course.
Daring Rescue is a good card, man. Someone's
Daring Rescue is awesome.
No, I think it's a good card. I'm just being sarcastic about it being the answer to everything.
Wait.
What?
Yeah.
Is that the card in the Lanny box that when I tried to say it was, if someone would break it eventually?
No, I've always liked Daring Rescue. Daring Rescue is like one of the two cards I like in that box.
Yeah, Daring Rescue is probably my favorite card out of the box.
Listener better go back and verify Aaron's defense there.
Anyway, I give this card, since my goal in this episode, based on past criticism, is to disagree. Is this Lannister gets an F, fuck you, in this pack. And let's move on to Greyjoy.
That's fair. Who's reading Greyjoy?
I ain't reading that shit.
Gotta be Roy.
I guess I'll read Greyjoy. So four Bicon, military power, silences crew, non-loyal, raider traded, bestow three, no attachments, pillage, lots of keywords. Silence's crew gets +2 strength for each gold it has. Reaction. After Silence's crew discards a location or attachment using pillage, place one gold from the treasury on Silence's crew. And zero cost, non-loyal event, plunder. Action. Kneel your faction card to choose an opponent. Gain one gold for each location and attachment in that player's discard pile. I think these are kind of EE cards. I'm a little bit more on Plunder than I am on Silence's Crew, but I think Silence's Crew may be one of those, again, Danny is screaming to us, try Bestow, try Bestow, try Bestow, because Silence's Crew, you don't actually have to bestow anything on it.
Why bestow it? That's the upside here, is this is the bestow card that you don't have to bestow, and you can still get that benefit.
Could you put gold on it above its bestow number by hitting its condition?
Yes.
Yes. If you move gold, it can go above its bestow.
So that's why. I mean, I guess there's times when you just need a big dude, right? I top deck this.
And a big guy.
Silence's crew is really good.
Yeah. I think it's just a very solid, efficient body. What worries me looking at it, sorry to butt in here, is just this is the only like pillage-esque trigger we've seen that specifically cares which card is doing the pillaging, right? It's the first I've seen, and just
the mountain.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
Gregor and Euron.
Gregor's Marauder.
Euron is.
No, Euron doesn't care who does it, does it?
No, it's just a card discarded using pillage. You can steal a location.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually. Okay. I just gotta see. I've only ever seen Euron.
Not that it's a huge.
No, after Euron, Kuro's Eye discards a card using pillage. Put a location.
So if you have like four guys.
Yeah, but if he does it at all, you can get a location. I just meant with Silence's crew, with, you know, with several Greyjoy cards floating around with pillage, people playing this may need to be very specific which one, which card goes with which one.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
I just think that this is great because, like, Greyjoy has such an abundance of, like, five drops, and they don't really have much in the four drop range, and I think that this card is just objectively awesome. I mean, everybody knows how good, like, Ranging Party is, and I know that this isn't as good immediately, but it does have a keyword, and that isn't that hard to do, is ditch an attachment or a location at one point, or you could just pay five for it and you get a 5 for 6 Bicon.
It's another card that's good with that event.
It's a straight up good card.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it powers the janky Lannister Kraken deck that loves the new tile.
Or the other way around, Greyjoy Lion.
Or, yeah, Greyjoy Lion. But you want to use that Tywin, right? Like, that's so. The dream. Yeah.
But then you lose.
That's the dream. We're talking about the dream card. That's why I see these cards as EE cards. They immediately.
Silence's Crew is just too.
I think Silence's Crew is just straight good. Like it's not an E card. Like it's just gonna go into Greyjoy decks.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree. What about that Plunder?
It is power creep on the drop.
What's power creep on any of the 4/4 non-uniques? Because it has two keywords, and it gets strength boosts for only having to just win a challenge.
Yeah.
Well, all the other 4/4s from the core set have no attachments, right?
It's not just no attachments. Like it has pillage, and it has a strength bestow. Boost, a conditional strength boost, and bestow.
It's not quite as good as the Raging Party, right? Because context matters too. Not in a vacuum.
Right, not in a vacuum, yeah.
But it's still, at worst, the second best of those cards.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Palace Spearman is really, really good.
Yeah. I think this is probably better than Palace Spearman, but it's close. Yeah.
Yep.
So, I think Silence, I don't care about Plunder. I don't think Plunder is going to see very much play, given, you know, economy exists now. It would have earlier.
I don't think
Silence is a really good card.
But I know Roy was starting to, earlier before we kicked it back to Silence's Crew, I know Roy was starting to say he was up on Plunder. I'm curious about what kind of defense he's got on this, because I just don't think you get a reasonable amount of gold in a reasonable amount of time.
I think sometimes, particularly in the mid-game, Greyjoy can end up, once it's burnt its economy plots, it can end up in an awkward economy state, and there will be times when there are attachments and locations, and if you can get 2 or 3 gold out of this, I think it's fine. It's also a zero-cost event, and I'm always much more bullish, I think, on zero-cost events than most other people, not just because I have Dark Wings, Dark Words just being recited in the back of my head all the time, but I think just zero-cost events, any zero-cost card deserves legitimate respect. So that's sort of it.
It'll be good in Dark Wings, Dark Words. I don't really see it seeing much play. That +2 gold. Like, it's the worst Indoran's name, right? And that doesn't really see play.
It's an Indoran's name, I think, that has a much higher upside than
because you don't have to. Well, you do have to Neo Faction card. No, Indoran's name is always better.
Yeah.
No, Indoran's name, like, if you. There are times when you can get like 8 gold off.
But Indoran's game nice is a predictable scheme.
But you know what? Wait.
If you know what you get when you're playing, you can count the deck around that. Plunder depends entirely on your opponent's deck in a random shuffle.
Okay. Roy, if you're playing a Night's Watch deck and you have 8 of their locations in the discard pile, you've probably won.
Not necessarily. The occasion or attachments, like they could have a Craven, they could have a Milk from Dead Characters, they could have dupes of Brandon's Gift or other unique locations that they don't necessarily need, or they used against your location kill. Like, they could easily be against Night's Watch deck, like 4 locations or attachments in their discard piles.
That is half.
But I said up to 8. I said you could have like 8. That's like. I apologize. I exaggerated it.
Why are you apologizing to Aaron?
Apologize too nice.
Apologize to the listeners. You lied to them.
I apologize
to the listeners.
Lying whore.
Wait, what?
Whoa.
That's what happened.
That escalated quickly.
Ouch.
Who's reading card cards? Did we rate this crap?
We haven't rated it. I think I give them maybe like a B minus out of this. Silence's Crew is pretty solid, and Plunder's Binder Fodder.
I'm in a straight B. I think that Silence's Crew goes like it's like always a consideration. So yeah,
A minus B. I'd go about a B.
I'm just going to give it an E to stick with my original inclination.
Roy's mood is the best tonight. Who wants to read these tarred cards? Because I don't.
Well, I'm reading
Martell
so far. So I think it's got to be me, right?
Go for it.
Yeah. I think so. All right. Targ has Strong Belwas. That is a unique but non-loyal 3-cost, 4-strength military icon. He's a companion. We all know what that means. With Bestow 2 and Interrupt, When another unique Targaryen character would be killed, discard one gold from Strong Bell Loss to save it when it once per phase. Followed up with an attachment, unique and non-loyal as well. Two costs, Breaker of Chains. Has the title trait and unique Targaryen character only. Attached character gets plus one strength for each character you control with printed cost two or lower. And reaction, after attached character is declared as an attacker, put a character with printed cost two or lower into play from your hand. I mean, I think Breaker of Chains is pretty worthless at the moment, unless FFG makes some kind of hard push for a cost two or less, like Breaker of Chains kind of theme across Targaryen as a whole. Strong Belwas, I think, is worth a single copy in every Targ deck, right? Like, at a minimum, he's a higher strength and cost character, which Targaryen admittedly has several of, but I like to see that carry on.
I don't think Targ has space for Strong Belwas.
I think Strong Belwas is quite hard to slot in, but they do have a ton of uniques, so... Yeah, you might make room for him.
I think I personally would, but what do I know? I don't play much Targ these days. I really need to.
I don't like either of these cards. I think these are just kind of boring. Like, Strong Bell will be a one of here and there, and it'll be great, or it'll be completely useless. I think it's about a D.
I mean, he's still an efficient body, if nothing else.
I just wish he saved himself. Like, if he saved himself, he would maybe be too good. I don't know. Like, because then you could just pay 4 for 4 with, like, a built-in save that has military icon. I don't know. Go ahead, Roy.
I think if he was something closer to the original design in 1.0, where, you know, maybe he had a lower printed cost, but, you know, he had lower base strength, but he gained additional strength, and then you took gold tokens off him, I think he'd be more interesting. But the fact that, you know, he's like a 5 for 4 if you pay the most with 2 saves and he can't save himself is like – I feel like you – I think there is a point where you may see him in kind of like a mid-rangey Targ deck that kind of is trying to do a little bit of everything that Targ can do. You might see him. But I don't know. Like, I don't think the two best Targ decks right now, which is the High Burn Fealty and the Targ Rose, really want him. So, particularly because he can't save non-Targ characters. But I like him. I don't know. He's just a hard card to evaluate. Yeah. Like, his upsides and his downsides are really strong. So it kind of...
Wait, so he's like a balanced Targ card? You know,
yeah, and since everything else on Targ is broken,
then I was gonna say, wait,
it's like balanced Lannister cards. Who wants those?
Yeah.
Yeah. There have been above when a faction has been getting above curve cards for so long, you know, and while Targ hasn't been getting them for very long, it feels like it because this whole cycle's kind of been like good Targ card, good Targ card, good Targ card, good Targ card. We now have a pack that has more awkward Targ cards, so that's kind of a little bit refreshing, but also disappointing from a review point of view. I think Breaker of Change is going... Someone could figure out a way to break this card.
Break its chains? Like,
I think it's...
Break its chains?
Yeah, Breaker of Chains.
The problem break is it's chains. Unique. But
it's any two-cost character, right? Right, but there's good, unique Targ characters.
That take
Danny, Drogo, Miri...
And if you're running
there's
all
three.
Of those,
any of the
you know,
Blood Riders can
you
take
know, you
this.
You probably I mean... don't have in the deck that many two costers.
Well, you can build. Like, I think that I mean, but Aaron, like, that's the build question. Like you know what I mean? Like, it's easy for us to say, "Oh, fuck you to this card because it doesn't do have an immediate use." But that's like the Builder's deck was born out of. People using cards that people thought were just terrible and coming up with clear synergies.
I think just being able...
But there were a lot of synergies built in with those. Right,
I think being able... I think Breaker of Chains is pretty good. Maybe not at the moment, but I think just like being able to dump in characters by a really easy triggering condition that like... As of right now, is not contingent on the character's text box. So, like, even if they're blanked or their strength is reduced or whatever, like, just dumping in anything that can come out. I mean, there's some really good low curve wildlings. There's some really, really good low curve Targ stuff, like especially the Dothraki stuff or Sir Jorah, or, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think that I tend to side with Roy on this one. I think that this card could be really good.
I think Targ itself, would need a lot more unique two cost characters. Because yeah. Otherwise I feel like too often you're going to get this and you're going to be like, well, I got the two costers and this card. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to have two of the three pieces too often.
Yeah, yeah, well, you need more and, like lower curve or mid-range unique characters that this can go on. Yeah,
And strength just matters less than it did. A lot of what it does is give them that extra strength.
I think it's just trying to like compensate you on that character by making you devote more deck to the characters to use to trigger that, but I don't think the payoff is worth it.
If it just said Targ character only, I would not be against this.
Yeah. Right?
Like, it's just like, you can't... You,
yeah, but then...
I think it's the Targ.
But think of this on Barristan, right? Like, Barristan, sure. This is a strong card on, right? Because it makes it easier for Barristan to win challenges.
It's especially good either.
And it empties out your hand so he can stand.
It's an E card. Like,
you know what?
I
think the fact that we're even talking about this card means that it's really interesting.
I mean, there's 9 Targ uniques in your deck that this isn't going on.
Yeah, because you can't do any of the dragons.
Yeah, it's just, there's, like, you can stick it on Jorah, but, like, how long is he around?
He's going to get ditched, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and if you're building that
but it's terminal. It's not
cool.
Terminal.
You get it back, and then you stick it on, hopefully, like, Drogo or Danny, right?
Danny, because it's later in the game, and you've drawn Danny. Like, I'm just saying, like, you can stick it on cheaper, like, you can stick it on Jorah. You can even stick it on Quaithe if you need to, like, and get the synergies with the two-cost characters going, waiting Quaithe until you draw Danny, then you sacrifice or kill.
You sure?
When she's enters play.
Her ability is not going to help you with this ability, though. Regardless whether you can trigger it.
All I'm saying is that surprise cheat bodies are good, and like getting a strength boost on top of it.
It's not surprise. This is going to sit on the board. There's no surprise.
It's not really a surprise.
By the way, Quaithe is after she enters play during a challenge. Remove.
So no, that could be right. Useful. That could be.
Wait, no, because Breaker of Chains is after this character is declared as an attacker. So how often do you want your two-cost characters to put them into this challenge, react, put Quaithe into play, remove your own two-cost characters?
Oh, man. And annoyingly, it's after this character is declared as an attacker. So it doesn't even work when you're doing wall of defense shit. Like,
yes, if it was Defender as well, that might be a passable play. But it is actively bad for you the way it is.
I'm sticking to my guns, interesting, as
Luke said, but I think the fact remains that there's just not anything in Targ right now to back it up. Whatever this is or isn't later on, this is Builders when whatchamacallit, Brandon's Gift first came out. In another year, maybe this has the cards to do something, but it doesn't right now.
Well, I hope that they do that so I don't have to go back to this episode and be like, man, I was freaking wrong about this card.
I'm going to give this card a D. I'm going to give this house a D.
I'm going to... I like Belwas slightly better than you, so I'll go D plus.
D for Daenerys.
What was the last thing that Aaron said on the review? It's like Stark gets a D for dog diggity doghouse or something.
He did say that. And maybe, I think I was in that review episode, so it may have been the second to last one he was on. I give this house a C for Clueless, because that's how I am about whether or not these cards are going to
stay. I give this house a C for what could be.
How poetic.
Yeah, right. Wow. We're going to have to start doing all our reviews on acrostics.
Alaria Sand.
Acrostic poetry.
A Martell non-loyal card. Character. Cost 4, strength 4, so, you know, not bad. Intrigue power, bastard companion. Bestow 3. After you lose a challenge in which Ilaria Sand is participating, discard one gold from her to stand each bastard character you control. Oh, that's not very good. All right, secret schemes. House Martell, loyal event, cost one. Kneel your faction to draw X cards. X is the number of plots in your used pile. Secret schemes is amazing and exactly what control needs. And Ilaria probably sits in the binder unless we get enough bastard tech.
I've actually been having to defend secret schemes to some other folks in my meta, including a guy who is just like the Martell player, which kind of surprises me, but I think it's phenomenal. That has not changed since we previewed this card.
I've used it. It's been amazing. Like, even if you're only using it on turn like four, you're still getting two or three extra cards. It's really good. It's really useful. Yeah.
And that's a time when it's really useful to get that. You know, and on turn one and two, when it effectively does nothing, like, you don't need the cards anyway.
Yeah. You cannot, however, make it cheaper with fealty.
Correct.
But yeah, no, this card is great. Ilaria, I don't know what the fuck you would ever do with. Like, again, it requires a lot of stuff to happen. I don't like cards that require a lot of stuff to happen. You have to have her participating, lose with her, and then you have to have other bastards already.
Well, she can always stand herself, so you don't have to.
Sure. I mean, I guess. Yeah. That's fine. But then you're putting like five or six gold on a four.
I was going to say, having played quite a bit of Martell lately, I'm not spending the extra money just to stand one of my, like, 17 intrigue power bycons.
Like, she's probably supposed to be for Tyene, right? It's just, like, there's no other Sand Snake there. There's no other Sand Snake. Right, but there's no other Sand Snake. Right? I get enough.
What about all the Barret Master?
All two of them?
Aren't there three now? Was I thinking there are three?
Yeah, there are. No, Edric Storm is.
Gendry, the bastard in hiding.
Yeah, and then the non unique one.
Yeah, Edric. So three.
Yeah.
I apologize. Because if Edric's ability required you to kneel him, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah, it's just, no. But, can we not try and make Ilaria a thing?
She's like Fetch.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? You know, the only time she'd ever be good is if you fetched her with Ariane. I set you up for that.
I mean,
I'd rather Ariane,
Orphan of the Green Blood.
Yeah, there's a lot of cards I'd rather Ariane. Like,
oh yes,
Nymeria.
I'm talking about Bestow cards.
So Secret Schemes, however, is an A. So I'm going to give this house an A minus.
I mean, Secret Schemes is the strongest card in the pack.
Probably. I mean, and it's something that Martell has sorely needed. So I think I'm with Aaron on this one.
Wow.
Control likes draw, right?
I disagree.
Yeah, I mean, this is the card every Martell player has wanted since the core set, right? So we get it, and yay.
Does anybody else like
Martell?
We can do this on another episode, but because we're buttoned up against time. But does anybody else really hate the like used plots thing?
No,
I did at first. I think it's actually kind of okay now. Like, Doran tricks aren't terrible now. Like, I still don't care about Indoran's name or whatever. What is it? Doran's game. I still think that's a bad card. But like a lot of the other stuff is pretty cool.
That's like, a bad card until it's either horrible or you win.
Right, yeah. So that's dumb. But like getting a really strong Viper has its uses. Like even just boosting things like Marcella is really
Edric Dayne.
Yeah, like no, there's a lot of handy little shit you can
do. Dude, Edric Dayne with Dawn. I played an Edric Dayne with Dawn on him at the last regional and it was fantastic.
Oh my.
I think it's a theme that sucked in the core set and was frustrating in the core set. But now it was just a theme that's just going to get better and better, that more good plots and more long game cards are printed, right? And many ways, I wish Secret Schemes and Doran's Game, right? That's the one in the core set.
Wait, you know what the real swap? You know what the real places, problem with Secret Schemes is?
Like,
I finally got Martell Reigns to be good, and I can't run Secret Schemes and Martell Reigns. Fucking kills me.
Well, you could. You just
I'm not going to. That is very frustrating.
Yeah. So I'll give this house just an A. Like, I mean, just secret schemes alone. And, like, I think Illyria's Sand is fine. Like, if you're tooling around for Martell characters that you want...
Yeah, I'm with
I don't know if you can. She's one of the worst Martell cards. Characters.
I think there's some I like less than this, but definitely comparing her to some of the other
Maester of Starfall
Stows.
I like Maester of Starfall. I ran Maester of Starfall in my Gen Con deck. Maester of Starfall was really good in the meta
that came out. You know what? I guess. I don't know. You had a better day.
Stop running into the fucking Cthulhu guy from making the cut. Don't play him twice for making the cut. And so, like, I had a decent day with it. Like, yeah, it's just, you know.
You had a great day with it,
yeah. Yeah, very. Yep. I mean, I'm looking at Martell characters. They're...
What's the new Maester where you bounce attachments?
You know, I'm okay with him.
I'd probably rather run that guy because at least he's 2 cost.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like, House Maester, Jaqen, Knights of the Sun, blah, 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 Marcella, Nymeria. Oh, better than Obara.
Yeah, and the worst part is that she's better than Obara, and Obara is, like, actually, like, synergy with her.
Probably better than Rikasa. Worse than Sir Aeris, worse than the Southrend Magicenter, which, by the way, is fucking awesome. Worse than the Spear Maiden. I don't even like Starfall Cavalry, but it's definitely worse than Starfall Cavalry. Worse than Tristan, who's also not bad in certain decks. Yep, so it's the third worst Martell character.
I think she's... I don't know. I think she's on the same level as Tristain. Like, where
Tristan
there will be Martell decks that want to run him.
Lord.
I guess that's that.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. So who wants to do the featured character pack?
Don't trip over yourselves.
You are the most Waldery of all of us, Aaron. So.
You should not invite me to your wedding, Roy. Because should you do so, it will be either red or purple, and you will be both. All right, Walder Frey.
You know,
neutral character, 6/3, Tricon, House Frey, Lord Renown. While Walder is attacking, each other House Frey character you control is also considered to be attacking. That's really strong with all the other Tyrell stuff. Like, the other Frey stuff. If you can make this work, this is going to be broken. I don't know if it does work. I have not tried to figure it out because I don't want to play Frey. But, like, if you can make all the different Frey shit work, it's going to break the game.
Well, this is what I said.
I don't even know you'd have to
push. I was like, oh my god, I'm so afraid of it.
With Walder, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the 3 strength, but even if nothing else... He is a Bicon with Renown?
Tricon.
Oh, sorry, Tricon is what I meant to say. Yeah. Which at least makes me kind of go, looking at it.
With that
Great Hall and Ocean Road exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you can also, like, it's not on the third challenge, right? So you can open Chump Challenge with him, like, which your Chump Challenge strength suddenly becomes, if you're running Lord of the Grass, 15 strength. And then be like, oh, okay. Well, I can open with the power challenge into a superior claim and then play a put to the sword on the military challenge. Like, whatever. Like, there's some nonsense. Like, if he had been, I think he would have been a worse but more balanced card if he had been the third challenge. Yeah. But
dude, he's absurd in Lord of the Cross.
He's a card
you have
that...
all the Freys out in him, and it's like, here, we're gonna do a 70 strain challenge. Like, can we get Viper in this, please?
I think he slots really. I think that the Frey tech slots really well into Martell and Tyrell.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think those are the best options.
Yeah, I mean, like, Martell was particularly Martell Crossing, right? Was looking for an engine to make it more consistent, right?
And you just cut everyone but Doran the Viper from the Frey.
There's not that many Freys, right?
They're mostly non-unique, right?
And then
some of the others
the twins too.
Are not great.
There's the Lord.
So
there's the Lord, the new non-unique Lord. There's the unique Lord in this pack.
There's not a unique Lord.
There's Walder himself.
Yeah, there's not.
Okay, you've got this cycle, you've got the non-unique lord, and then you've got the Frey lord, or the little lordling here, the one right here, the bastard. I guess maybe I'm just saying I don't really care.
Are there any other Frey characters?
Bastard is terrible.
Black Waldron, however, is so on, but the lordling I do like.
The bastard is awesome in a crossing challenge.
Black Waldron's fine.
Like, in the third one, he's just, like, balling out on that huge power challenge.
There's also no limit on
Well, all right, hold on. We should read this card. I'll read this card just to sort of let us let the listeners have...
Hey, you know who could stand him?
If they don't have the cards in front of them.
The third worst Martell character.
There we go. There, that's true. So, Frey Bastard is a non-unique intrigue power bicon, one strength, bestow two, reaction. After you win a challenge in which you control two or more attacking House Frey characters, discard one gold from Frey Bastard to gain one power for your faction.
You're going to pay four for, if you're going to Ariane him and just pay two, you're not Ariane him. That's a terrible
I'm going to go with an Ariane her, judging by the dress and the curtsy, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Also, you know, this is a card that works with Breaker of Chains, too.
Boy, it does. Somehow that doesn't sell me on it, though. I just think it's way too much investment.
I think that Targ is what will... If Frey should break, Targ will keep it in check. Because you can totally just burn Walden or Cinders, right? Well,
Targ could also keep it out of check, because Walder Frey with the standee... Prize of Pride is also really obnoxious.
I don't know. I'm not an expert.
Two challenges
for what it's worth,
one
of our guys down here won the store championship with Targ Crossing and has been testing it for regionals and stuff since then. Played a Frey at our a Targ Frey Crossing deck at our testing session this past weekend, and his verdict at the end of the session was nope. I am pulling it to go back to straight Targ. So, I don't know, just relating it, because I don't play much Targ.
I mean, I think this is a Martell or a Tyrell Crossing deck, if it exists.
Yeah, I think Martell has the best means, or best desire to capitalize on that, I should say.
But let's also remember, though, every single Frey character that is printed from now until rotation of this pack makes Walder Frey better, right? We don't have that many Frey characters right now, but if we get if we get a Gemma, right? Because that's Tyrion's aunt, right? Gemma Frey, who will be a House Frey character. If you know, we get a couple of other, if we get a Stark
Little
Frey
Walder
character from early, like, there's just like a
Edmure
lot.
Edmure Frey,
Little Walder, or something like that. There's a lot of options that could, like, every time Nate and Danny sit down, we want to make a Frey character. That, you know, there's a Rhaegar, right? Frey. There's a whole bunch of different Freys that they could print, and each one of those makes Walder much better. So he's definitely a card that literally right now in the meta may not be that Frey Rush may not be the best version of Rush, but... Ask me at the end.
Yeah,
of the
cards
next
like this just scare the crap out of me. Although there is the hilarious upside that he can't accidentally kill himself with the deadly keyword.
For all our first edition listeners, so thank you.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, that was a mess. But I like Walder. I think even in a vacuum, I like him without the other phrase. So I think I'm willing to give him like a B, but since we brought it up as well, the Frey Bastard, I'm still kind of down on. So I think she's a C at best.
I think Frey Bastard's a D, but Walder is a B. Sounds right. I'm probably gonna give him an E because I don't think.
I think he's an E.
Yeah. Actually, no, he's a B.
I think he's an E.
If you're running your Tyrell Rush deck, your normal Tyrell Rush deck, you just stick a Walder in, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, instead of a Mance, sure.
I mean,
yeah.
Or both.
Or both, yeah.
Yeah,
because you're running Great Hall for sure.
Yeah.
It was super greedy card
like,
decks
that
want
more Tyrell Summer with all your new economy, right? You're just like,
well,
maybe I'll just
run him until you can run
Tyrell Summer with all the Frey tech.
Oh, Barak,
Jakob's card, right?
Also,
Venomous Blade.
Yeah, Jakob's Guard.
True.
Yeah.
It's just Venomous Blade doesn't hit three strength, right?
Talking about Jakob's Guard.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's a feel-bad moment.
Ouch. Well, talking about feel-bad moments.
It's feel-bad when you're running it's a Martell line.
Frey Hospitality?
Exactly.
Do you want to read that, Will?
So Frey Hospitality is a three-cost neutral event with the House Frey trait. Reaction after you win a challenge in which you control an attacking House Frey character. If it was the third challenge you initiated this phase, choose and kill a character controlled by the losing opponent. Choose and kill three characters instead if you won by 20 or more strength.
Good thing that doesn't wipe your opponent's board or anything.
I barely know how to
rate them. It can easily, though.
Three is a lot, and it's your choice. So, of course, you're taking out their three most potent if you can trigger it.
It's funny.
Yeah.
it's so a fucking stupid card. It's like one of those cards where when your opponent triggers this card, you go, there's two reactions. You go, why are they running this card? And two, it's like,
you
fuck.
Just kind of shrug.
Like,
I guess
to kill
Valerie.
Three characters. Like,
or if they trigger, if they trigger it after you've already valored, then they've already won anyway, and then you just laugh, and you just kind of laugh like, you managed to do that. Okay.
You sure got me.
To be completely honest, I wish this card did something non-killy splashier, right? Like, I think kill is the most boring form of splash.
Right, this sounds very
perverted. This is a fun card. You do something.
But they're trying to hit that.
Roy likes the phrase splash.
Well, thanks for like.
So, what would you rather like? Would you rather like a bounce?
I do love the phrase splash.
Like
I'll phrase splash over you any day.
It would be interesting if you could like choose three characters, return one to hand, kill one, discard the other, cannot be saved. That'd be interesting. Yeah,
that'd be cool. That's way flashier, and
although it's also not that hard to win by 20.
Like it's
on your third challenge, though.
In a Lord of the Crossing deck, have you seen like the level of hilarity that can get to if you just build it that way?
I guess not.
Not even just build it that way. Like a Tyrell deck can easily get to 20.
Mm-hmm. Well, but it's not get to 20. It's get to 20 plus, probably, because it's win by.
Sure.
So, and if they're letting gold, that's challenges. Pretty telegraphed.
You know what stops this? Fast Eddie. Oh, sorry, Slow Eddie.
Slow.
It's true. Slow Eddie does. Slow Eddie with a pointed.
Just keeps
he just, standing. You know, always slow stand Eddie. And always defend.
Dude, Slow Eddie.
Bring Slow Eddie back.
Slow Eddie is the best.
He's almost like Eddard in the fucking books.
That's
true. I'm going to stand up and not do much. Yep, that's me.
I'm going to stand up and defend my family until I get poisoned.
I mean, both.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically true. Until I get killed. Because, well, actually, I think both Eddards are actually pretty thematic, right? Because the second Eddard is kind of like Eddard in Robert's Rebellion, right? Because joining Robert's cause massively accelerated the ability of the Braithians.
That's man, right? Totally not. We're not supposed to have cards from Robert's Rebellion. Yes, I know.
It's Eddard.
Right? Am I wrong? Sorry, like, we're not supposed to have like representations.
Correct. They're not doing
the theme can be dropped
those cards anymore. Like,
yeah. Although I guess Bob, I guess Core Bob probably represents the Rebellion Bob.
What if
I have all the Bajillion
in the episode without talking about the plot?
Oh,
I just think it'd be really funny.
Who wants to read the plot? I mean, I do. I am feeling very, very
well. That's what
Red Wedding-y anyway right now. So the Red Wedding, which is a neutral plot, 4 reserve plot deck, limit 1, 4 gold, 0 initiative, 0 claim. House Frey, Scheme, Interrupt. When you win a challenge as the attacking player, choose and kill a lord or lady character controlled by the losing opponent. Any player may initiate this ability. I fucking hate this plot. Like, there's so many reasons to hate this plot. Like, one, it's like a win more plot. It's obnoxious in a Night's Watch deck that doesn't
Martell
run any lords or ladies.
Yeah,
and
buddy,
just, you
Martell
know.
Can do it.
Yeah.
Martel can win the ladies. The ability to... All right, it's important for listeners to understand. It has an interesting interaction with Reigns of Castamere, which was pointed out in the article, but let's just reiterate it. You cannot trigger it if you flip out of your pre-existing plot.
Because interrupts happen.
For the intrigue challenge. As an interrupt, it initiates before the reaction.
We did
so it goes
second
interrupts,
edition,
so, reactions, whatever. Move on.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Which is a bummer, because that would be a...
This is in the rule book.
No, that's not a bummer. I'm glad that that shit can't happen.
It's not a bummer. I'm super glad.
If we were going to have the ability to trigger... I just kept first edition. Wouldn't have to deal with all
these. It's not that stupid. That's actually built into the timing
structure of the game. You're built into the time structure from the core set.
Can you imagine if there was a loop phase? That'd be friggin' dope.
Make reading the rule book much more sexy. But,
there is a loop phase. Taxation.
Huh? Anyway, I think you'll only see this in Reigns decks, right? That want to open intrigue and then win the next two challenges, right? Like Lanny Reigns?
Night's Watch Reigns?
Where else do you get... And maybe a Night's Watch deck that runs this...
I've seen people try it.
Night's Watch Reigns? Yeah.
That's it.
Lanny Reigns?
Stark Heavy Murder?
Terrell Reigns could do that. Terrell Reigns can do the same thing going second, right? Like, any Reigns deck can do it. Martell Reigns could do this if they're going second, and they definitely want to.
I mean, it fits in just, like, in the Reigns, because you never have to flip it, right? If you're playing Reigns, you never have to actually pull the card out, and it's never going to be your revealed plot unless you choose to reveal it.
Just so long as you can
so that means
control
you have
initiative.
Reveal it if you're running it Reigns, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think you'll ever see this in a standard plot deck. I think you'll see it in someone's Reigns package.
I think it's really, really appropriate that Reigns of Castamere is how you play the Red Wedding.
Yeah, fair enough.
Isn't that the name of that episode?
It's very thematic.
Maybe.
The Reigns of Castamere, I believe it is, yeah.
You know, way to go if that was on purpose.
Nice little nod to have the House Frey trait with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually several Frey traded plots, right?
No, there's like...
Yeah.
That's right.
Unexpected delay, right?
Maybe we'll get something that does something with that.
What
with
is
the Frey event?
Delay do?
I don't know what.
Yeah, it's the bounce one.
It's the pick two.
Oh.
No attachments, no power. Each character chooses, or each player chooses character.
That doesn't fit with the Frey themes at all.
I mean,
yeah, nope.
Although Frey is Rush is not how I would have pictured them either.
The title like fits, I guess.
There is House Frey traded non-character cards. There's Frey Hospitality, Lord of the Crossing, the Red Wedding, the Twins, and Unexpected Delay. Those are the non-characters. By the way, there are currently only 1, 2, 3, 4
of which are unique
House Frey characters, all of which were released in this cycle.
4 is probably too few to make this work still. Hopefully.
Anyway, the Red Wedding is mostly bad.
But let's also...
I agree. If by mostly you mean very.
Yeah.
I hate that this plot exists. It's just more boring kill effects.
Right. I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. Yeah, we just keep getting more kill.
So neutrals get an E.
Yeah, neutrals definitely get an E.
Yeah.
We usually rate them individually, but I don't care about these cards. I'm not going to lie. Do you care about these cards? That's anyone really looking forward to the first?
I care about Walder because I think Walder's the card. If we're going to see any of these neutrals, we're going to see Walder more consistently. Because Walder's this pack overall has a lot of cards that
has anyone tried to build Stark
until they're broken
lately,
like straight up Tully Rush or
I don't know. There's multiple
Frey Rush or Stark Rose or
yeah. I mean, people have, and it's proven to be. it's proven to be a little glass cannony, and it's taken down some tournaments, but it's also ended up in the middle of the pack. Like, I think if you run hot with Stark Rush, you'll run over people, but I think it has much bigger weaknesses than Tyrell Rush. For example, way fewer intrigue icons. So the best kill spell in the game, as it famously has been called now, just owns it much more than Tyrell.
Kill spell in the game. He's not wrong.
It's just a great, like...
I know. It's just a terrible way to describe the cards. We don't have spells in this game.
Sure we don't.
I missed the theme.
yeah, that got real awkward real quick. Let's go to props and slobs.
Props and slops. Thank you for that one, Luke. Plus, Luke's getting low on hard drive space again.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, it's not showing up as declining on mine.
80 megabytes.
Yeah.
All right, so let's keep moving. Who's got props and or slops?
Slops to me having to record on a Chromebook because my regular laptop is too loud.
I want a prop Game of Thrones. That episode that aired last Sunday was amazing.
Yeah, wasn't it? Like, yeah. It totally surprised me.
Yeah, like
me,
when
right?
The person died.
Really blew my mind.
Yeah, I can't believe that person died. No spoilers. Yeah, wow. Sometimes people binge.
What?
And
John
that episode
did
was really
episode?
Long, oof. Too. You know? Just, like, a lot longer than normal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just...
Yeah,
like,
me too. Now that
I'm
they decided
really
to start
to
making it a documentary,
like,
I'm just really, really intrigued.
Is Danny going to be able to really carry through with what happened in that episode? It's just really, really crazy.
Yes.
It is. And I have read some really, really great fanfiction.
Also, let it be known that Beyond the Wall has no monopoly on time travel.
Oh, slops to Family Time Games, who's hosting the Indianapolis Regional, who refused the entirety of the Indie Meta's help to be able to run the tournament.
Awkward.
It's a real thing, and we're really worried about it being a disaster like it was last year, where we had like 5 repairings on the round before the cut, and like so basically, if listeners make it this far in the podcast, like. The indie meta does not have any responsibility over this regional if anything goes wrong. This is just an ongoing problem that I'm not sure we're going to ever be able to resolve, so I'm sorry.
Absolutely, and I'm really sad to hear that that happened because the indie regional is great, and the indie meta is great, and I'm sorry that their regional... They can't play a large role in it. This is really, as I said on the Facebook group earlier, the year of indie.
Just call him
thanks
Luke.
To Luke. You've done a really fantastic
thanks
job
Luke.
In this regional season.
Thanks to Luke.
I said Luke. And Chris has had a really good season. Jess has had a really good season.
That's everyone.
I know
from
you guys
indie
have some lesser really known names, but also had a pretty good one. It is everyone from indie that I know.
Hey,
but I know
hey,
also some
hey,
of the
prop,
other
props
indie kids.
Awesome name, dude.
Indie folks have done well.
From indie. Yeah, Storm.
Oh, Storm, Storm, Colt, and Race, and Slade are from Ohio. But props to those guys because they play with us all the time. And man, yeah, they're a blast. If you get a chance to come down to the Midwest, got to hang out with those guys.
Hey, I got something else to prop because I've made Will's life too easy. I want to prop the ending of Beyond the Wall.
Oh,
no.
You can slop Alex.
Hey, goodbye.
Wow.
All I know is we're still standing. The wall still stands?
We're going to last forever,
there's
guys.
There's
you know what?
Something in there.
So I'm pretty sure
Wait, I'm pretty sure Will is actually...
All right, I have a slop as well. Can I slop Dave Bamford's sense of history? Like, you would think an Englishman would understand, like, what the longest-running podcast...
I think what he's arguing is England's history and Britain's history should not overlap. I mean, that's got to be what he's arguing, right?
But he used Alex as corroboration. I refuted that, where Alex corroborated our side of the story, got deleted. I think that was kind of fishy.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is not actually new,
Roy. I don't know why you're that surprised.
I'm not surprised. I've known that he's been doing this. I'm just taking this specific opportunity. Since now there's only two
throughout the podcast. Well, there was a post in the Facebook group today that somebody wants to start a new one.
Yeah.
I met Jesse at the Tennessee Regional. He's a really good dude.
Sure. Good luck to them.
I'm excited to see if they take off.
Hey, Luke.
We'll see how it goes.
Sorry, Luke. You're the only 10 I see.
Aww.
Well... Before we go, I do want to throw out two quick comic book related props. One is, thanks to Comixology Unlimited, I finally started reading Invincible. It's really great. And I want to throw out some props to Spider-Man Homecoming, which was super fun.
So good.
Yeah, and I think I realized the concept of the shared universe better than any of the other movies have so far. Just like real world.
Sure, except Avengers.
Minus MJ. She was super lame. Slots to her character.
You're so wrong.
Yeah, there's Kristen.
She was great. She was great.
Props to Kristen making this podcast better.
Up? I mean, I haven't gotten Spider-Man. But, we'll have to have this discussion
I'm
after.
I'm sure you guys props this, but also props Wonder Woman. Because Wonder Woman was awesome. Yeah.
Wonder Woman friggin' ruled.
I also haven't seen it.
Wonder Woman and Spider-Man are my two favorite superhero movies since the original Guardians.
Can we go back one quick?
Because second? I don't
Luke,
care
why
are
you
about
never
superhero
see
Spider-Man
movies. Homecoming? Like that.
Like I don't
You're
read
one of
comics.
Oh, okay.
Like I don't read comics.
I'm not interested anymore. I'm not interested anymore. Like Luke, you could just stop. I'm just not interested anymore.
No,
I thought you actually had a good
care.
Argument to make. Just you're not interested. That's fine. Like,
wow.
That's fine. But you know what? That kind of
into the danger
zone, where will.
For sure.
It's a good way to close a chapter
yes.
of a book. Not a comic book, according to Luke. Just a book. Like a regular, like, I have an MFA, book.